Simple title on the sermon here this morning. Let me see where I'm introducing it. We have been bound up here in the last several weeks in the discussion of the Reformation. Did anybody look at my amendment to the board out there this morning? Did you look at how I amended that board, the bulletin board over here? That had the pictures. I've had it up there for like 4 months of some interesting facts about the Reformation. I want you to go out when you're leaving, and look at it again and see the little change. It's not a big one. It's just a small change, but it's in my heart, and it talks about how the Reformation continues today. The Reformation as a movement was about the individual and the church's relationship with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. You must always remember that. The people in the Reformation had a big concern, the ones that were provoking it. There's this risen Jesus Christ at the right hand of the throne of God, alive. And he has this operation on this earth called his church. He's alive. And the church is his body. That's how close it is to him. He's the head of it. And in the church are people who belong to him, each one of whom he died for on the cross. Two things. He knows you by name. As he said, the debt is paid on the cross, enduring the agonies of God's eternal wrath upon his head. Your name was on his head, on his mind. I can barely keep 10 names in my mind at one time and remember to write letters to them, right? Unless I've got to know something to provoke me. On the cross, he knows you. And he died on you. So you're important to him. And your care has been entrusted by him to his church. That's where you are, is in his church. And so he's made that provision for you, to care for you. And so the Reformation guys came along and looked at the church of their day and said, this is terrible. What the church is and what the church is doing for its people is a total perversion of what's clearly laid out by Jesus in this book. And they said, hey, we want to reform the church so that it looks more like what the Bible says it should look like. That's the basic thing. And we want to reform the church so the people of God individually can experience the grace of God individually because of the means of grace that are in the church, the sacraments, the preaching of the word, the pastoral care, all of these things that are uniquely his work in his church. And so that's what that was about. The devil had made his mark on the church. The devil had perverted the church. And these guys were all trying to change the church. And they booted them out. That's the basic issue. They booted the reformers out. The Protestants were X out. They were chased all over Europe, killed, excommunicated. Nations were hired to rise up and crush places like Germany and Sweden and the Netherlands and England and France. Where the gospel had begun taking hold and new churches were being built, etc. And so when we come to the Lord's table this morning, the Lord's table is one of the big issues of the Reformation. I want to read a passage to you and then briefly comment on it. And if you look in the bulletin, get a pencil ready, I'm going to first fill in some blanks on the right side of the bulletin. Okay? So have that in front of you. And then we'll move on to application and to the Lord's table itself. Luke chapter 22, if you'll turn there. Chapter 22 and verse 14. We'll start reading there. 22 and verse 14. Very important that you look at the Bible as your pastor's reading it and preaching from it. Chapter 22 and verse 14. This is the last night of his life. He's going to be crucified in about 14, 15 hours, maybe 20 hours from this point. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. They were having dinner together, the Passover meal. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And that was the final act of the Passover meal. At this point, this is the final act of the Passover meal. After taking the cup, After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Now, end of the Passover meal. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." And they began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. God's word before us. Father, help us as we look at this. In Christ's name, amen. The difference in opinion as to what Jesus meant by the phrase "you saw this is my body, this is the covenant, the new covenant in my blood, the cup is a new covenant in my blood," is been treated after the Reformation in certain ways. We know that the Roman Catholic view was unchanged by this. There was a barrage of excellent biblical interpretation and application, but the Catholic Church had changed its practice from the 3rd, 4th century by the erection of a whole new view of the table that had been authorized by various councils and Catholic groups without reference to Scripture. And their view is called transubstantiation, which says that when the priest holds up the host and rings the bell, that bread and wine becomes the body of Christ. It becomes it. It is the body of Christ. And you are literally, when they disperse it to you, eating the body of Christ. Now, I'm not exaggerating this. I've got all the documents back there. They're not ashamed of this. They're not mad about it. That's the way it is. The Reformers came by and said, "That's not true. That's not what Jesus did in the night in which he was betrayed, and it's not the way it is." But they differed on what should take place. Luther comes away rejecting transubstantiation and adopts what he calls consubstantiation. It's a very, very intricate system that says the body of Christ is everywhere, ubiquity of the body of Christ, it's everywhere, and so therefore we can say it's in the wafer, it's in the wine. Zwingli, on the other hand, had a view. He called it that the presence of the body and blood of Christ is symbolic or memorial. It's not there. Don't ever make the mistake of saying it's the body and blood, but understand it is a memorial that's to provoke an idea in your mind, and as it provokes it in your mind, you're supposed to think about it in a way that's reverential. The "this is my body," it means nothing. Calvin and the Reformed view is and asserts that there is a real spiritual presence of the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament, but wholly and only something that takes place by faith, because Jesus is not in this world. Jesus is resurrected. He's sitting. His body and his blood are sitting at the right hand of God. That's where his body and his blood is. Did you know that? He has blood coursing through his veins right now. He has a body that has muscles. He's sitting there. He can get up and sit down, stand up. Remember, he stood up when Stephen was martyred. Stephen looked into heaven, and there's Jesus standing, not sitting at the body next to the right hand of the throne. His body and blood is up there. And so, but he said, "This is," you heard it there, "This is my body, which is for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood." He uses the phrase "this is," doesn't he? Calvin says that it isn't, because his body and blood is in heaven. And B, the point of it is that your salvation and redemption is in heaven at the present, in the presence of God Almighty itself. When Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, remember, he's got these nail-scarred hands and a cut in his side, and his feet have got the holes in them. When John looks in to see the throne in Revelation, he sees the Son of Man as a wounded, as a lamb looking as though slain, cut, a bloody presence. All that's there. What's on earth is something Jesus chose to be a supper in which the Christian sits there and he's sitting, where is my confidence for my salvation? Where can I find a certainty about the fact that I'm going to be in heaven when I die? And it's not, that certainty is not to be found in a little piece of bread or a little swig of wine. Jesus says, this is something, and what it is a picture, it is a direction marker to someone sitting in heaven. The place where your redemption is seated firmly at the right hand of God. And as you, by faith, take this thing today, you are asserting that your salvation is finished and completed, and the Savior bodily and bloodily is currently at the right hand of God securing that salvation for you. But this is a piece of bread, and this is nothing but a little cup of wine. Westminster Confession of the Westminster Shorter Catechism puts it like this. What is the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper is a sacrament wherein, by the giving and receiving bread and wine, according to Christ's appointment, as we just read, His death is showed forth, and the worthy receivers are, not after a corporal and carnal manner, eating body and blood, but by faith, made partakers of His body and blood with all the benefits to their spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. The table directs us not to body and blood in the table. The table's elements direct us to the presence of the living Savior at the right hand of God, and focuses our faith upon that and not anything that's in the table as something that will save us. Does that make sense to you? Luther's the position of the correct view, I call it, and the thing is as follows. The correct view is called, quote, the real spiritual presence. It's best described as by Calvin in his Institutes. I'll give you something there to read if you like that. Also the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And also, wonderfully, the Heidelberg Catechism, another Reformed confession. Question 75. That's all there in your bulletin. And in number 6 there, the words of our Lord's institution of the supper clearly representing Him focusing our sense of that sacramental moment on His body in heaven, where our salvation is secure and in His eternal presence at the right hand of God. Again, first blank, focusing our sense of the sacramental moment on His body in heaven, where our salvation is secure in His eternal presence at the right hand of God. There's nothing in this world that will save you. There's nothing the church can do for you that will save you. There's nothing that the government can do to save you. There's nothing that any sacrament can do to save you. Your salvation is present in the finished work of Jesus Christ, as He has taken that finished work right into the throne room of God and is sitting there interceding for you forever. And what you do at this table, you do by faith, assured of what you hope for and convinced of what you don't see. You are not consuming the body of Christ. You are by faith being nourished by the blood of Christ shed for your sins 2,000 years ago on the cross, and now resident in heaven at the right hand of God, where your salvation is made completely and ultimately and finally secure. In other words, it's something similar to that day in Galilee where after feeding thousands of people, they came to him because they wanted food. You know, the Jews were constantly missing the point. They kept looking past Jesus into something he was telling them they should do. Looking past Jesus into the Mosaic law to see if that's what he was talking about. Looking past Jesus to see if it was in the rabbinical setup, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all this. And the one thing he keeps doing is going like this. No, don't look at that. It's about me. And when they were saying, oh, it's about the Mosaic law, he says, no, no. It's me. Pay attention to me. It's me is his message. In that one, they came to him looking for food. And he says, in a metaphorical way, he tells them, you know, anybody who gets, you must eat me. Eat my body and drink my blood. He says that word to them. Not so they will run up with an intravenous thing and stick it in his arm and start drinking his blood. But they will, he says, but you won't come to me that you might have life. The body and the blood was an act 2,000 years ago on the cross. That blood was shed once for all. That body was cut up and nailed one time for his people. And that's blood. That bloody sacrifice is over. We, by faith, the assertion that it is there and that that did happen, are making the statement that that act is what is my ultimate, you want to talk about nourishing the spiritual life? It's what he did. You want to talk about what satisfies me the most deepest, like our deviled eggs are satisfy us on Wednesday night, you know? You can talk about the body of Christ at the right hand of God having completed the work of our redemption 2,000 years ago. And by faith, I am nourished by that sacrifice and by that blood and by that cup that contains the blood that tells me I'm in a new relationship with God in terms of his body and shed blood that has secured for me my salvation for eternity. And I come to this table today feasting on the facts of salvation, feasting by faith upon the person of my Lord Jesus Christ, feasting as it were, nourishing my entire spiritual person with the knowledge of God, my Savior, as having died for me, shed his blood on the cross, and that body and blood is alive, and I belong to him. The table is nothing more than this assertion of the main facts of redemption, a body, blood, that is now at the right hand of the Son of God, of the Great Father, and his perfections are the object of that he wants us to think about. You know, he didn't tell us to do foot washing as the thing to remind us of himself. He didn't tell us to simply go to church as the one thing he wanted us to do to remind us of his good work for us. He chose one thing in the night in which he was betrayed. He swept aside the Passover meal. That was about God loving Israel and destroying all its foes and delivering them out of bondage into his freedom. We don't have to, that was a shadow of what we're doing now. What he's doing in the table now is the celebration and the knowledge and the trust in everything he did on the cross of his suffering. And we take this table, and as we consume these elements, we are feeding upon his work for us, which is himself. We're not eating him. We're eating bread and drinking grape juice or wine. And if we're doing that, we are spiritually feeding upon Jesus Christ our Lord in all of his completed work for us. And we are by that nourished spiritually in every part of our need as human beings. But not as the scripture, as the catechism says, because this is a piece of his flesh. I would be convinced of their position if he'd stood up and said, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to have a big repository someplace where you're going to have enough of my body to go around and eat on for the rest of your life. Or if he'd gone, filled up a cup with his blood and handed it to him, do this in remembrance of me, I might be persuaded. But he didn't either. He took a piece of bread and he said, this is my body. It stands for something that I want you, as you eat it, to remember. And this is my blood. This is, as you drink this, I want you to remember something not having to do with this, but having to do with the living presence of your Savior at the right hand of God. And your faith in Him having died for your sins 2,000 years ago, that blood once shed, the Bible talks about, for His people. That's what I want your heart, your mind to be involved in. And that's why we come to this today. Bring a heart expecting to, in this place, be doing something that He looks at you and says, they are doing that which I've asked them to do as the mainstay of their life. And what this does is link you up with Him in all that you understand about the universe. And when you talk about your need for salvation, it's not here. It's up there. And you're taken out of this world by it. That's one of the reasons I cannot understand how Christians lightly treat the ordinances of the church. What goes on in this room is heavenly. The presence of God, the presence of the Savior, the presence of His means of grace, this being the chief one here, but also the prayers and the preaching, the teaching. This is a sacred place today. I invite you to come to the table today, and I invite you to feast on redemption in the way that God says you should, as you lift that little cup and you eat that little piece of bread. Be drawn into the heavenly places where your Savior sits, nail scars in His hands and feet, having done completely for you everything needed to get you into the presence of God uncondemned forever. This is His body. In that way, this is the new covenant in His blood, present to your faith. Father, help us. As we come to the table here today, as the elders come forward to distribute, this is a great pleasure of being an elder in the Church of Jesus Christ, with the responsibility of distributing to the people of God that which they will, by taking, faithfully taken, be nourished and strengthened for their work as believers, something that doesn't happen any place else but here, once a month. Lord, receive our worship as we come, being transported out of this room by what is at this table into the certainties of redemption in Your great body there enthroned at the right hand of the Father. Nourish our faith today. Strengthen our faith by the Lord's table where we join Him today. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.